So we're both. We're masculine and feminine, as Chuck said about the Creator. Wakantanka to Kashla. That it is both, masculine and feminine. Feminine and masculine. But if we are only one in our minds, feminine, and we're only one in our minds, masculine, then we are at conflict because we're unbalanced. And that is why we have a conflict with each other. If we're talking about our sacredness, there should be then an equality to all things. There should be an equality and a balance to all things. And we should not be abusive to one gender because we are of another gender. There is so much wrong with this idea of that she's just a woman or he's just a man. We are both. We are human beings. We're neither one. And how is it that we can tout human rights and all of the wonderfulness and spiritual road, the spiritual path, and we still maintain that women must not do certain things and must stay and remain in their place? That is the highest form of hypocrisy ever created by man in this universe. And we still abide with it, and we still let it happen, and we still go along with it. We have a long ways to go. We talk about being spiritual and sacred and all those other things. Until there is equality, visual, symbolic equality in the physical realm, there will be no equality in the spiritual realm. Even though we're sacred, even though we're spiritual, even though we're holy, we're still trying to live and learn and to find by remembering that everything is the same, only in a different form, and that all things are of God, and all things are God. Just that simple. Just that simple. Blue kachina is just a light, and it brings about a consciousness. And again, that's what we're here to do, is to help with the consciousness, to help raise the consciousness and saying, you are sacred and must act and think and do in a sacred way. And that's not saying being a goody two-shoes all of your life. There isn't such a thing. No one is perfect. But it's going to increase the consciousness so that you may remember, that you remember who you are. You are a sacred being. You are from God. You are from the Creator. You are part of the Creator. You are not of sin. You are not of a loss. You're not a loser. You are a human being, part of the creation. And as part of the creation, you have an accountability and a responsibility to all of the other things of creation to which you are related. Now, you can put that in any kind of format you want to. You can make that biblical. You can make that from the Talmud. You can make that from the Quran. You can make that from any place that you want to take it. From the sacred hoop, from the red road, from the circle, wherever you want to get it. It is inescapable. The blue kachina comes. It's part of a story of a tribal group, indigenous people, that believe that. That's part of their faith. And they see that time coming, and they see the time is here, and they realize that we are in another cycle. And so they adjust their lives accordingly, like we must adjust ours. Talking about the crown chakra opening up, the top three chakras from that light. Yes, it is a time of enlightenment, but everybody talks about that. The age of Aquarius. Everybody talks about that. But what have we done about it? What do we do about it? What will we do about it? To be enlightened and sit on our ass and do nothing is to be unenlightened. To be unenlightened. What are you doing as a human being to help and construct and pass on to your children, your friends, and your family that everything is sacred, connected, related, and accountable? That is what that is about. If we are to achieve harmony and balance and unity, then we must be open and receptive to it. And the very people that we attempted to eradicate and exterminate and erase from this part of the world are the same people who have remembered and carried the message. And they're still carrying it. We're still carrying that message. And we're still trying to share that message. Not teach, but share and say, just remember who we are. We are related, connected, and sacred, and I must honor you. I honor you for who you are. I honor you for what you are. Not because of your color or your gender or your social or economic status, but for who you are. You are a human being. We are related. You are my relative. I have danced you back. You and I are the same tribe. We're the same nation. We are human beings, and we must work together. We must work together. How many of you were born 1933 and later? Anybody in here? All you light workers? All you light workers? Chuck talked about it. In 1933, entering into the King's Chamber, teachers and light workers and healers would come back, and you've all come back. And here you are, case in point. Case in point, look at your lives. And here you are, sitting in this room with other people just like yourself, born in that time, to come and to be here and to do what is required of you to do. By living example, you teach. By living example, you heal. By living example, you exemplify God. Wakantaka to Kashala, Undoji to Kashkenskan. Something holy moves. Every time you breathe, something holy moves, and you are what is holy, and you are what that moves. Now, I didn't study that. I knew that. I knew that. That's what came for me, and I don't have to validate it or give any data or scientific proof. I don't give a shit about that. You know, I'm telling you what it is, as it's been interpreted by what? Teyate Dude, his Red Nation. His Red Nation interprets that in that way and says, you know. And people always say, well, nobody agrees with you. I say, I don't care. I'm not here to be agreed with. I don't come and go to be agreed with. He said, well, what about those who don't agree with you? I said, they can eat shit and bark at the moon. And I mean that. I don't care. I don't care. It isn't important. You know? You gave me this venue, and until you ripped this mic out of my hand, and, you know, that's it. I have the stick. Yeah, that's the thing we're talking about, is to get away from the mystical, magical part of it and to put it into the reality that each and every one of us are going to be accountable and are accountable for the change that this world, the universe, and the planetary system is making and going to make. Every breath you take moves a star. Every breath you exhale moves the stars and the planets. And what it is up there, what is above is below, it's mirrored, it tells us, it has told us for centuries. Some of us remember and some don't. And so we can't go to him and say, hey, wake up, hello, anybody there? We have to by example, we have to by example, we have to by example. I think there was a commandment chain that ran. One of the commandments were, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. Pretty good. Pretty good advice. Pretty good advice for, you know, that's a part of a story. That's part of another myth that says these commandments came down. I'm always amazed that no matter where it comes from, God always has a way of turning it into English.
Yeah, that's a good thing for some of us.
Yeah, you know, it's like a thing as an interpreter, in Niska, that when I interpret something, I put my own slant to it. And so does everybody else. So how do we really know? How do we really know unless we accept on faith or literally accept somehow? Well, yeah, I believe that's what was said. We don't know. We're just simply taking it on faith. We're taking it on faith that that's what was said. But it always amazes me that it comes out in English. And I'm going, some of these things, some of these ideas, some of these precepts, some of these concepts you cannot express in English. In my language, there are no words for a lot of things that people say, oh, the chief said this. When? When did the chief say that? I heard the chief and he didn't say nothing like that. I heard the guy and it wasn't anything close to what you said it was. Why is that? Because that's your own perspective and you're going to get the most out of it. You're going to get the benefit of it. I'm going to wind up standing around sucking my thumb, standing around the trading post, you know, waiting for the checks to come in. If that's what he said, you give me all this land. But as long as the river flows and the grass grows, we will take care of you. Right. Sure thing. Excuse me. Yeah, excuse me, how we're going to do that. You haven't quite laid that out to me yet, you see. So here we are. Some of my dream journals are over there. We call them books of poetry. Those are my dream journals. I get up all things of the hour in the morning, write down that poetry. That's my dream journals. Chuck had his dream, and the commander alluded to it, that the biggest problem I would have would be from my own people sometimes. Because they don't want to believe that what you're saying has anything to do with, quote, the traditional way. Well, let me share this with you. There are no traditional ways. The traditional ways ended the first time that we let somebody outside of our very own tribe tell us what we were saying.
In English.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
In English, yes ma'am. Or French or Dutch or English, anything else that you want to say. It's the first time you allow somebody else to tell you what you were saying. You ever have anybody like that? Your therapist? Your first wife? Your first husband, your brother, your mother, your father, tell you what you are thinking, what you meant to say. I believe you meant to say this. And you go, wait a minute. No, huh? I said just what I meant. You know that old saying, what you think you heard and what I actually said were two different things? Every Sunday, I have to spend all of my 40 minutes that I give myself trying to convince 200 people's perspectives that they understood what I said when they go out the door. So I'm working on addressing each person as I go along here, and you notice I look over at you and I glance over at you and I'm looking at you, not for approval, but I'm just sucking it in, you know, saying, what do I got to get? What do you got to hear? What do you need to hear? What do you want to hear? What do I have to say to get it to you that you already know it? And I can see it on some of your faces. You ain't telling me that and I don't know. I'm going, right. I am not telling you anything you don't know. But are you acting on it? Are you doing? Are you doing? Prayer is wonderful. People say, how do you pray? Do you pray for the world? Every damn day I pray for the world. Matakism. Okay, wake up in the morning, matak, matak, matak. For all my relations, for all my relatives, that's all of you. I don't care where you come from or what you do. It's for all of you. For everybody. Yes?
Vicky is acting on it, you know. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and but in the bottom line, all of you, how do you do it in your everyday existence?
Okay, let's go to, please don't understand me, just accept me, just love me. Yeah, how do I do it with great difficulty? I think it's pretty easy, but I get asked that. What can I do? How? What am I supposed to do? And you're supposed to breathe. Just breathe. If somebody calls me and they go, Low Crow, what am I supposed to be doing? And I go, just what you're doing. You see, that's too simple. It's too simple. Because it doesn't give you a ritual, it doesn't give you a schedule, it doesn't give you a deadline, it doesn't put you in any kind of pressure. It doesn't say what it says to you, it's up to you to do whatever you want to do today. That's up to you. This next moment, this next breath is up to you. How you think, how you act, how you look, how you breathe, how you exhale is up to you. And it isn't up to anybody else in this room to tell you that you did it wrong. To tell you that you did it right. You have to have faith that what you are doing is okay.
You're saying stay in the moment and stay with your intuition?
That's all we have. Your intuition is the God self. Your intuition is the higher self. Your instinct is the God self, to Kanshala. It's that something holy that moves. God dwells in here, that spirit that enters the body. Comes into this fetal form. The fetal form is created. We can create the fetal form. A woman carries it in her cavern. It's created like an automobile. And all of the raw materials that has transformed through that woman, processed, filtered through her, are part of the makeup of that automobile. That becomes the vehicle by which we enter into. And we enter that vehicle, the spirit comes back around. Chuck says the little lady's there and she asks you, the old woman, yeah, she's there. But my interpretation on it is because where I come from is that she doesn't ask me if I've been good or bad or if I've been generous or walk a good road. That's judging. She's going to judge me. My culture says, my interpretation of the oral tradition says, it's up to me to determine if I've done those things. And I don't have to answer to her. It isn't up to her. It is up to me. Am I going to lie? And if I lie, I'm going to be discovered? Is somebody going to know I'm lying? Is she going to know I'm lying? Is God going to know you're lying? What is it up to? It is up to you to make that determination and say, I'm really not quite ready yet. I think I'd like to maybe finish up some unresolved business. And so I'm going back. It's up to me. I don't need you to tell me to go back. I'm going to go back myself because I haven't done what I should do. I haven't lived in a proprietor's way. I haven't shared. I haven't been generous. I haven't shown bravery or wisdom. I haven't had the fortitude to stick to and to do and to believe in myself and to believe in what I believe. And so I'm not ready to go on. There's too much to do here. And by my living example, I think I could be probably more effective. More effective. I trust my instincts, I trust myself, I trust the feelings that I have about things, and to this day, they have not gone wrong. My faith is my life. And my life is to breathe, process the air, and to do the best I can by any and every human being and circumstance that I'm confronted with in a 24-hour period, in a one-hour period, in a minute-by-minute, moment-by-moment, breath-by-breath. You see, that's living in the present. That's living in the present. That's, we are time-present people. Chuck talks about it. We live in the present because the present is what requires us to do what we do. It isn't a day from now, a week from now, a year from now, 2 months from now, 10 minutes from now. It's right now. What I say to you, what I share with you, what I feel with you, what I express with you is critical and crucial to this moment that I have, because I could fall dead right here. The next 3 minutes or the next minute or the next 30 seconds, I could drop dead. So I have to get as much as I can out now in this minute, this moment. Yeah, 4 o'clock, like that. Now I got to get the hell out of here. Yes.
That's all right. You'll be back on Tuesday.
Yes. Yes, sir. Do you need the mic?
They're giving the stick.
Yeah, that's fine. Too. Yeah.
Oh, you need the stick too? Jesus,
Dave. I do need the stick. Yes. You reminded me of different instances of life experiences, and I remember sitting with another Indian. Very respectfully do I use the word Indian, in India. One time sitting with the Baba, I asked him, what is the key to happiness? And he said, Jaya, is when you woke up this morning, were you breathing? And I thought a minute, and I said, well, I guess so, Baba, I'm still breathing now. And he said, this is enough for happiness. Now, if we have an Indian nation in India, the land of saints, and we have an Indian nation in America that seems to be very saintly, is that the same nation and the same power?
Very good question. And I'll do my humble best to answer that. Yes. We are all the same nation. We're all the same power. His job was to be Baba, your job was to be the questioner. My job is to be Tayaduta. Your job is to run the video and to be here and come here and to ask the questions. We are all the same. We are all the same. We have the power. We have the sacredness. We are sacred. We are spiritual. We are all of those things. And the Mother Father keeps waiting for us to realize that. I often put it in the context, it's a dream that has not ever been dreamt. Chuck talked about interpreting dreams. I interpret creation as a dream that has not met its full potential. It is up to us to create and fulfill and complete the dream that God had, God's dream, Wakantanka's dream, Tukonshala's dream, Undoji, before we knew anything about God, or any concept of a creator, we called it Undoji. And in that idea that our accountability is to create a dream where brotherhood and sisterhood and love and balance and charity and wisdom and bravery and generosity all exist, and that we can be at peace, that we can live at peace. It is up to us to create that dream. It isn't something that is guaranteed like breath. Breath is not guaranteed. It isn't anything that's guaranteed. It is something that we have to work at. Commander has said it many times. I've heard her tapes, even when I didn't want to. I heard her tapes. I get her tapes. And I play them. And I've heard her say, it's something you have to work at. Commander said, it's something you must work, like working program. And 23 years of sobriety, drug-free living, for 23 years. I'm working on 24. But it's something I have to... Is it something I work at? I don't even think about it anymore, but yet I do think about it. Because I'm only one drink away from being where I was 23 years ago. I am only one drug away from where I was 23 years ago. I am only one main line away and one needle away, you know, from where I was 23 years ago. But I'm not there, and yet I am. What we are seeing has already happened. Us being here has already happened. We're already trying to catch up with time. We're trying to catch up with time. Time is zero, zero time. Tape number 12. Zero time. You see that? Isn't that a work of art? Zero time. Tape 12 over there talks about what it is has already happened. We're just seeing a reflection. What about the sunset? Where's the sun when it's setting? It's already gone. All we're seeing is a reflection. What about when the sun comes up? Many moons, sun, come up. Move across heaven. Really? Does it? How do we know? Well, scientific data shows that it does. But there's still some people that believe something else. So we are here to do that. We are here in this moment, but we're trying to catch up with it. And once we catch up with it, we will create that dream. We're getting there. We have no choice. There's no more time. We don't have any luxury. We don't have a timeout. We don't have any more go past jail, go collect $200. We don't have a get out of jail card. We're there. We're here. We have got to live through this experience, all of us, each and every one of us, because we have a responsibility to live it, to experience it, to remember it, and to have compassion the next time it comes around, that we could share with others like I'm sharing with you and you're sharing with me through your energy and your silence and your respectfulness, that you understand, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And you're here for that reason today, to hear it reaffirmed. To hear it reaffirmed. And you'll go away from here. Maybe only one thing I've said will reaffirm, and maybe some will not find that. But I'm sure you will.
But while we're all going through that experience, or going through this experience, if God is one, there is not some place else or some other time when God is more present than he is right here and right now.
Right in your own heart, according to your own perspective and your own need. We talk about predatory self-interest. I need God to be with me constantly, each and every breath. I accept that. I need Jesus to be in my heart, so I take that. I need Buddha and Allah to be with me, so I accept that, and it comes from within me. That's my faith. And that's my need, my predatory self-interest. God has a predatory self-interest. Wouldn't he or she? Wouldn't the Creator have a predatory self-interest? If indeed it exists, then it was created. If there's anything that exists in the world that wasn't created by the Creator. That's part of my oral tradition. That's part of what I believe. Therefore, I can look at that and not wonder about something. Where did the devil come from? Where did this idea come from? Where did that come from? It was created by the same Creator that created everything else. And it too has an accountability and a responsibility and a connectedness and a relatedness to everything else. How can I separate it? How can I cut it off? How can I surround it with walls and not let it be part of what is? It has a right to exist also. Where it boils down to is my choice of what I'm going to do and how I'm going to deal with it. And that's it. How I choose to deal with it. That's the part of that problem. It's here. It's within all of us. It's within all of you. I look at you and I see life. I see the spirit. I see the sacredness of your being. I see God. I see the Mother, Father, Creator. And the children come to remind us. They're more recent from the house. They're more recent from the trip. And they come to say, hey, I want to trust. I want to love. I want to feel protected. I want to feel that I'm here. We don't respect children enough because we talk to them not as spirit, not as grown-up, not as adult. We talk to them as children. And you wonder why they don't do anything that we ask them to do. Do you know what means? Do you know what that means? No, well, how the hell do you expect the kid to know that? The child looks at you and goes, very interesting. But no, thank you. Can't you just ask a simple question? Are your diapers wet? Did you go no-no? Did you number two-two or whatever, you know? Kids are full-blown spiritual beings. They're just in that little bitty body, and they're here for us to feed and to house and to worry about until they're on their own. And some of them start telling you they're on their own very early in their life. They say, I'm here with something to do. I'm on a mission. And they're not kidding you. They are on a mission. They have a purpose for being here. They just didn't come here to make your life miserable. They are here. You served as the vehicle. The woman serves as the vehicle by which they are to re-enter. And from that time on, they're going their own way. They're going to try it. You say no, they're going to do it. You say don't try to walk, they're going to walk. You say watch out, you're going to fall, they'll fall. That's part of their life. That's the experience, so they can have compassion when their own children come to them and say, I hit my head, I hit my knee, I scraped my leg. And you go, I remember how that feels. Compassion. Simplicity. Something else, in the tape or otherwise. Yes, didn't hear from you.
I had a question about the miracle of the white buffalo that was born, was that 2 years ago in Wisconsin now? I understand that's a very significant event, but at the time, I believe the commander said something about even more significant was the fact that the father died shortly after the birth. Do you have any thoughts on that or what that significance is?
No. No, and I hope that doesn't throw me in bad light. Because some things just, you know, people say, what does it mean? I'm going, well, it means we had a buffalo born, you know, white buffalo, who's changed colors four or five times, and now it's kind of an auburn color. And then there was another white buffalo born, and here's the one that I would think about. There was another buffalo born on the Indian reservation to an Indian rancher, a Lakota. Ho! Give me an aho. Aho. Yeah, yeah, you know, now that is significant. The other buffalo was born some white guy in Wisconsin. White guy's always trying to get in on it, you know, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, always want to get in on the act, you know. And I said, hey, that don't mean that. You know, I'm white guy. But now, Lakota rancher. Oh, hey, it's in our prophecies. Oh, the white buffalo. Yes, Orion's belt and Cirrus. We know where Cirrus is, and we know where the heart is and the head is. And boy, the new star is coming from the heart of the buffalo. You think that's significant? You're damn right it is. The blue star Kachina coming, ray 26 years wide. Yes, that is significant. What is it meant to do? Remind us who we are and what we're here to do. Live together, help, change the world.
Yeah, the times that I feel the least connected are, well, there's a bunch of them, but I think the times that stand out are the times when I feel both not only angry and resentful about what's going on, either directed at other human beings or just whatever, and the shame that goes along with it. It seems very difficult at those times to remember, and I'd like you to talk about that, if you would.
Very briefly, you remember when you're supposed to, and you also remember when you're not supposed to. You forget. You're a human being. You're not perfect. I get that same way when I'm in a car going down the freeway and remembering I'm not connected to any of these simple fools. If I get a chance, I'm going to run their ass right off the road. You know? I'm going to at least flip them off. I'm going to at least got to get into position, you know, where I can give them a finger or something and say, hey, you idiot. And then I remember they're sacred. And they are my brothers and my sisters. And I had to laugh, and I go, forgive me for not being perfect. Get the hell out of the way! We're human beings. We're not going to be perfect. You're going to feel those moments, but you're to experience that. That's your script. Here we go, script. You've written your script. You've written it. It's on your tape. It plays. Dreams are those little micro dots that appear and show up. You dream. They don't make any sense. Chuck says they're 90%. Symbolic, and if you don't understand the symbolism of the world in which you really come from, the world of illusion, this is illusion, the world of reality is the inner world. And you're not going to understand that because you've been educated to think you're living in this world. And this world is the most important world. It hasn't got anything to do. This is just something to do. The real world is the world inside, that world of dreams where you get all the signals and the little postcards from home that says, okay, you have this dream now. You're 43, every 7 year cycle. Now you're 23. Now here's this dream. Here's that dream. You go, duh. And you go to somebody and says, could you tell me what this dream means? And it says, you're not getting enough sleep. Too much sugar. Okay, you know, come on, give me a break. And you say, what does it mean? I dreamt of the fox coming over the fence and a snake flying over my bed. And you're living in the wrong place. Get alone. Get a GI Bill. Move. You know. Get the hell out of that neighborhood. Dangerous there. Yeah. My spirit animal came to me. Good. What did it say? Well, I don't know. I thought you could tell me that. But I wasn't there. And I don't care. I got enough problems. That idea, you know, is you're not perfect, and you're going to feel and experience these things. You are a human being, and you are meant to experience every potential scenario there is, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Poor, rich, simple, indignant, whatever it is, you're going to experience that, and you're not going to be perfect. The point you get to is realizing that. And when you realize you're not perfect, you're home. You're home. You're home. Where do you think heaven is? We use a closed-in myth about heaven. This is heaven. Everything is here we need. Everything's been given to us, provided for us. The Mother Earth gives us all the plants and the herbs and the medicine that we need, feeds us and protects us. All the raw materials, all the natural resources are right here. We don't have to go anywhere for anything. We can get it right here on this planet. And this planet is part of God's creation. going to create it, he said, take care of it, help it manifest itself, help it purify itself, help it eliminate when it has to, help it do what it needs to do. By acting with propriety and acting as if you had good sense. Don't overuse and overstress and take what you don't need. Don't let greed overwhelm you. Don't get on that black road. Don't go crazy with collectivism. What we become is human pack rats. Whether it's gold, marbles, or chalk, we become human pack rats. We cannot let go. And what's going to happen is, when we shake, rattle, and roll, it's going to go anyway. I said the long, hot summer would be with us. I said that last year, and here it is. People say, how did you know that? I said, I'm psychic. That satisfied some. Then others said, how did you know that? I said, I'm a shaman. That satisfied some others. And then others said, how did you really know? And I go, I'm a medicine man. And they, oh, that guy, a few more. And then there was that doubting crowd that said, no, really tell us, little crow. And I said, I guessed. Has you ever heard anything called the almanac? If something happened 50 years ago, it's going to happen again. If something happened 10 years ago, it's going to happen again. If something happened 100 years ago, it's going to happen again. Go look at your almanac, or can you read? And if you read it, would it make any sense? Everything is in cycles. Chuck talked about it in the tape. Secular. We are in the cycles. We are connected to cycles. Everything happens in a secular way. And this is not to countermand linear thinking. It is not to do that. It's just to say, encompass your linear thinking and just make a hoop out of it. If you want to think linear, just pretend it's on a straight line. But connect it. And you're just kind of going up your line this way. You know, walk on around. Or walk across it. Find the red road. Walk across that. Stargate. Just walk across the universe. We walk across this room, we walk across the universe. Shake hands with each other. Two different continents, two different divergent thoughts, two different mindsets, shaking hands, coming to this common place, this common place, this sacred place, this holy place. And to be here and to share food. One of the greatest gifts that you can do is to share food, drink water, and spend time together. And to remember the people on whose land we stand. And to give an offering, to give something to someone that you love. To give something that means something to you. And I brought something for the commander that is very special to me. I gave it to her. Gave my brother some sage. Well, you know, I only had that one piece of sage, but then one of my brothers came up here. A gentleman I never met. And guess what he gave me? Gave me some sage. So it comes back to me. Reciprocity. Circle. You give and it comes back. You give and it comes back. And that's how it works. That's what I believe. And that's what we're here to share. That's what we're here to talk about. That's what we're here to by example. We've got a long ways to go as indigenous people. We are not perfect. We have never been perfect. But we've got a lot of problems that we have to get resolved. And it seems as if we're not going to be allowed to do that if we keep thinking of us as special or unique or different. Our differences are that we're different shapes and sizes and forms, but they're the same shapes, sizes, and forms if there was no color involved. And you looked at the room and there was no color involved in us, we would all just be different shapes, sizes, and forms. I am a human being. You are a human being. In this lifetime, I've chosen to look this way, and for 63,000 lifetimes, I've looked this way. So, and out of the 193 incarnations, this is the one that I've experienced the most. And I'm humbled to be able to do that. I'm humbled by it. Not humbled, but I have humility with that. So I don't want to run you into the ground here, but let's say, you know, or beat you down, or tire you, or bore you. So if you have any other questions about the tape, I'd be glad to share one or two more questions with you. Because I think you got it, my redundancy. I think you got it. Yes, sir. Are you just scratching your head? I wanted you to have a question. Yes.
Well, I have answers, no questions.
There you go.
I feel like what you're saying is that giving and doing are the same thing, if that's a mirror. And I was wondering, here's what you're doing to make a difference in teaching. And I was wondering, what do you see that you're really doing? What do you see this collective group is doing? What? Or individually do what? Or come up with to? What is that what to do? Give. Do what?
Part of our philosophy is that everything is sacred and you make a difference. That's our bumper sticker. And it's showing up all over the world. You make a difference. You make a difference. My being here makes a difference because I get to be with you. I'm with you, and I'm interacting with you. I meet all of you, whether by, you know, I'm with you every day of your life. I'm in the same universe with you. I'm affected by your breath. Every breath you exhale, I breathe in, and so I'm breathing your carbon monoxide. I'm breathing your breath, your work. I'm here to be with you, to share and to help and to say things that maybe either upset you or make you think, make you remember. And by the same token, I hear from you, I see you, I feel you, and I do too. Then I benefit from you. It's a mutual beneficial kind of experience that we get together, we come together, we're not afraid to be in the same room together. And that we're here as sacred beings. We're giving to each other in that way, such as the flower and the trees give to us, and we never go to them and say thank you. We might in some other way. But we never go by, we never think, we never say thank you to those things, which also work in this whole process of providing the air. And I thank you for existing. I thank you for being alive. I thank you for breathing. I thank you for having the problems in your life that you have. I thank you for having the difficulty in your life and expressing it through the release of your energy. I thank you for that because it helps me in my experience and my remembering. And I share from what you give to me in that way. And that's what it's about. For us to see that connectedness, which is so primary, it is as if we were welded together by an unseen well. As if we were tied together by an unseen rope, chained together by an unseen chain. We are bound by God. As God addresses, it addresses us, and it exists within all of us, the Creator, Wakantanka. Whether I call it God or Ndoji or Tukash Skein Skein, it is the same God. It is the same energy. It is the same Creator that has created all things. That's what I get, because I'm with God. I am with you. I am with the Creator. I am with the example of the Creator. I am with the compassion and the love that God has or presumes to have or has been perceived to have, that we want God to have, and it is in you, in each of you. And I touch you, and I look at you, and you look at me, you bless me, and you grace me. And I appreciate being here amongst you and with you on this most sacred of holy days, and I thank the Commander and all of you who work, and EJ, and all the people who have come and been here today. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, for my family, and for my co-workers that come up with me, Jim Crutchfield, and Penny, come up from the church, and Dave is sitting there, and Jeffrey, and Sean, my brothers of the myth, and all the others that I've met over the years, and those that I haven't met. I thank you, and thank you from my heart for letting me be here to experience your sacredness and the beauty of the God Self that dwells within. Matakias for all our relations.
I have a question. This isn't a question. We share, and we share, and we share. And I agree. You teach me far more than I can teach you, because some of you are my elders, and I can look through the eyes of ones of you who experience with me in these times when you are without realization, but those are the times when you are in the most realization. And I can be amused at Dharma, for instance, who never saw Little Crow as either a spotted eagle. She visits with him when he comes to call as the red-tailed hawk, always recognizes. And every time there is a real need in the heart place for a connection of some kind, the red tail will always come and swoop across the patio that close to the house. And it's okay. But she says, but Dad, I didn't see him as anything other than the white eagle to sit at the council table. Ah, so. Now we've introduced another problem, haven't we? How do we make these interconnections in these interdimensions? You make a big deal of it. The other dimension is what you are. You have only manifest to experience in this one. And the question, or the confirmation, I guess, that I would like you to make is that in traveling in this other dimension where we spend most of our existence, remember, you have a little partway journey down here for a few 75 years. Isn't that the upper average? Some make it longer. If you take your titanium, you're going to make it even longer because now they can make these germs and things to kill you off. And the point of the adversary is always to kill you off and to kill you off while your soul doesn't know where it's going. It's going to flop around for a while, meet the old lady at the end of the fork of the road. And you're going to wait for that old lady to judge you because you're not going to know any different. And so today, with Little Crow, I don't ever have to worry about it. With Little Crow, he puts it where it's at, in language we don't argue with, and after today, we will never again be called a cult. Because you have to have these rituals and things to be a cult. And if you experience truth, it's just right out there in front of you. Let's call it what it is. But also, beware, because what you're going to run into is this place has a ritual hierarchy. You got your king, you got your prince, your princess. These are labels. These are titles of nobility. And when you start having ETs and masters coming and they have illegitimate children like Vagan, Ashtard, Vagan, you know, knock it off. That's bullshit. You can respect whatever it is and draw from it the good that might be in the lecture. But in those higher dimensions, they are simply higher dimensions. And you will get there if you learn your lessons. Now, that indicates a teacher and a student, a chila and a kohen. That's all. Someone maybe who's been around a little longer, a few more times. But you know what? It doesn't require that. And you have now come to the point where you're going to have to realize that when you make that transition, you ain't no different. No different. You're going to pass over into that dimension where you leave off. So.